I've had a few mornings the last little while where I've had to get up in the morning and scrape the car. That one morning I was scraping, and it was frozen frost or something, It felt like ice. I think ice would have been easier to get off. I scraped and scraped and scraped and scraped. Did not go so well. Mornings like that, I don't know if you've experienced them. Maybe not just with snow. Maybe in other ways, you get up in the morning and things just start, the series of one thing after another, were not going well. Then it's hard to begin it this day. And I would encourage you in days like that, in fact, any day, no matter how it starts, begin your day like we did this morning, praising Jesus. Focusing on him, looking at him. In fact, begin your day with praise, end your day with praise, and fill the middle of your day with praise to Jesus. I don't know. You try it. I think it will change your day. It will change how you see your day, how you look at your day. And it says in Psalms 45, verse 2, every day I will praise you, I will extol your name forever and ever. Every day I'm going to praise him. The last few weeks I've had to take several trips into Toronto to visit people in the hospital. Now, I don't know about you, for those of you that have to commute there every day, maybe you become numb to this. But for those of us that only go there randomly into the city, it's not something we look forward to. We're not looking forward to sitting behind cars, bumper to bumper, feeling like you're going nowhere fast. I don't know that I will ever really look forward to it, but one thing I've learned to do is when it comes time to go in, I turn on the radio to get praise music, or put in a praise CD, or put a USB in, or something to get me some praise music, to get my mind ready for the experience. Now, what I've discovered is, when I drive down to listen to praise music, the cars don't divide like the Red Sea. And everybody's not polite, and everybody's not nice, and it's all wonderful, and the sun's not always shining when I'm driving. But what happens is, I've changed. Instead of focusing on the cars that are bumper to bumper, and focusing on the guys that are constantly cutting me off because I gave a safe distance between cars, right? Hey, man, if you give a safe distance between car and Toronto, you'll never get where you're going. But what it does is it keeps my eyes off that. It gets my eyes on Jesus. And for the weirdest thing, when I drive out of the city, it's almost like I was never there. God does something in us in that experience when we go through that. What is praise? Is it a song? Is it just a word, or what is it? I looked up some definitions. Praise, expression of respect or gratitude as an act of worship. So when we praise Jesus, expressing respect or gratitude. Here's some words that help us define praise: to glorify, honor, exalt, adore, pay tribute to give thanks to honor, worship, devotion, adoration, reverence. Some powerful words when we are praising or worshiping Jesus, and this is what we are doing: showing him reverence, respect, acknowledging that he is not like us. Now, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Now, Jesus is our friend. Hey, I'm good with that. Jesus is my friend. But we have to be careful that we remember that he's also God. Now, he's our friend, but he's a friend that's not exactly like me. He is so much greater than me. And he deserves my respect He deserves my reverence. He deserves my praise. Praise is about actions, and it's about attitudes that we have. That for signs that we are lifting up Jesus, that he is becoming more. So John said this, John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. Praise is really less about us, more about him. How many of our conversations are about us? Should we not make them more about him? In that way, when we acknowledge him, when we talk about him, when we tell the things that he's doing in our life, are we not praising him and what he's doing in us? Moses and the Israelites have been released from Egypt. They're walking out of Egypt. They're celebrating. They're happy. They get to the sea. They set up camp, and they're trying to figure out how we're going to get across the sea. Are we going to do boats, or how are we going to manage this? There's over 1 million people, they figure, 1.5 million people that got out of Egypt. It's going to take a while to get them across. Just as that happened, as the king had released them from slavery, he changes his mind. He sends the army after them. He's going to kill some of them and bring them back, rest back as slaves. What's God do? He opens up the water, and so all the 1.5 million people can walk across on dry land. As they get to the other side, the army is following them, going to still want to get them, still want to attack them. And when they get into the middle, God closes the water and drowns them all. So this is what happens. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. I'm sure there was a lot of singing in the house that night. People were happy. They were celebrating, exciting. They had visual evidence of what God had done and how God had set them free, and they were going to talk about it. They were going to praise God. Hey, man, it's great when things are good and when things are going well, when things are just seem to be happening and working out. Praise God. Don't forget to praise Jesus and thank him for all the things he's done. It says in Psalms 48, verse 1, great is the Lord and the most worthy of praise in the city of our God in his holy mountain. Why is Jesus worthy of praise? I'm going to have the kids come up. Can all the kids come back up? We need you to help us with this. Come on up. We have a few helpers that are going to help us.
All right. Hello? All right. Okay, before we start, make sure you go follow for those of you who have Instagram, our new account at Broadway_kids with a Z to keep up with lessons and updates of what's going on downstairs in Kids Church. And now Naya's going to ask a couple of questions.
Okay, if you know the answer, just raise your hand and say what you think it is. What do you think is praise?
Like when you worship God and you pray to him. And
someone else?
Then you praise them, you praise. Lights us, and he made us back.
Mm-hmm. Someone else?
Love.
Really good. Someone else?
Baby life.
Someone else? That's it?
Praying to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and why is Jesus worthy of praise? Does anybody know?
Because he made heaven and earth, and he loves us with all his heart.
Because he died on the cross for us. He's our Lord and Savior.
Good. Anybody else?
And then I sleep.
Is that it? Nobody? All right.
Let's give a hand to our children for all they've done. Thank you, kids. They're helping us get to where we need to go. Why is Jesus worthy of praise? So in Psalms 150, verse 2, it says this: praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Psalms 117, verse 2. For great is his love towards us. Well, that's what one of the kids were saying to us, right? Because he loves us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Jesus will never let us down. Praise the Lord for his acts of greatness, for his acts of power, for his love, and because he's never going to let us down. It says in Psalms 105, verse 2, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Part of our praise to Jesus is us speaking out the good things he's done, when God has touched us, when God has answered prayer, when God has provided for us, when he's healed us, we speak those out, and that's our acts of praise. Psalms 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know them full well. We praise the Lord because he recognized that he created us in our uniqueness and our love that he has for us. It's hard for us to even grasp that every one of us is unique. And the more the doctors look at it, the more the scientists look into it, they see that we have unique fingerprints and eye retinas and voice prints. Even our voice is different. They can measure that, and they can even every part of our cells and everything uniqueness is our DNA is different. You figure, 7 billion people on the earth, and everyone is different, and every person that ever lived or ever will live will be different. I tell you, we are fearfully and wonderfully made by a unique and creative God. He is worthy of our praise. Psalms 47, verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a song of praise. God is in charge. No one else. I mean, there's lots of people posturing. I get a little bit of a sense of humor when I watch the news, and you look at Venezuela, two guys claiming to be in charge. They haven't got a clue. Jesus is in charge. He is the king over all and no one else. And because of that, because he's in charge, he's the king, he is worthy of our praise. We've come so far from the days of kings and queens that we don't understand the honor and the respect that they received when they walked anywhere or were anywhere. But see, a king, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. He is the mighty God of heaven and earth. He is the creator. He is a healer, provider. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is everywhere at the same time. He has no beginning, no end. We owe him our praise. We do. We owe him our praise. I need two children to come for volunteers. Okay? Two children for volunteers. Oh, there's one back there. Come on up. Yes, come on. You can vote. Yeah, you got your hand. You're right there. Yeah, come on. We need one more. Maybe get a guy. We can get a guy. Any guys? All the guys were scared to say anything. Henry. He was volunteered by his dad. And he just said no. Hey, come on up. Yes, perfect. Yeah, come on. We got some volunteers. Perfect. Now we need some new we need some adult volunteers, and so I'm gonna volunteer Roy. Come on up. And Sheldon. Come on, let's welcome our volunteers. Okay, you can sit right there. You want to come over here? Okay. I just got to get my prop here. Prop? That means something to help us with telling the story. That's what a prop is. There is one prop. Yeah, you can stand behind them on either side. Yeah, that's good. Good. And I'll get our other props. Yeah, there you go. And every parent wishes they had some of those sometimes. Okay. So there's these two guys in the Bible, and named Paul and Silas. They're going around an area, and they're talking about Jesus. Because of that, some of the people in the area were ticked off. Actually, if you read the story, it was about money. Paul had delivered this slave girl from being demon-possessed, and what she used to do is she used to tell fortunes because of this demon that was in her. Paul got tired of this girl going around behind them saying that they were servants of the Almighty God. Listen to what they say. And it went on for days, and he got so tired of this, he turned around and said, stop speaking, come out of that girl right now. And she was delivered, but now she couldn't tell fortunes. And so the people who were making a ton of money off her, taking advantage of her, were ticked off, and now they told lies about Paul and Silas and got them in trouble. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 22, the crowd joined together in attacks against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and be beaten. So there's the rod. You're supposed to... No, okay, we'll just pretend. Just pretend. Okay. Now, parents, don't wish you were up here with your children. Okay, there you go. Okay. Okay. So, and they, after they were severely flogged, they threw them into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, and they ordered them put in the inner cell and fastened their feet with stocks. So we don't have stocks. Do you know what stocks are? They were like a block of wood, probably about that big, cut in half, and you'd open it up. You'd had circles on either side, and then when you closed it, your ankles would be stuck in it. But I didn't have any of those. Andrew probably could have, in my garage, my wife says, I'm surprised you didn't because I collect stuff like crazy. Andrew could have made some, but I didn't want to bother him to do that. But we were just going to use handcuffs to do that. So you want to put them in stocks? You know how to use those guys? No, I don't. Just use them. Yes. Yes, go ahead. Oh, do it. Before we do this, Sheldon had a very good question. Do we have the parents' permission? Oh, well, I got one. Everybody else is, we're good? We're good. Okay, they're here, so they'll be in. Okay. You're going to put them around. You're going to have to take your boots off because they won't fit on your, yeah. Yeah. We got to put them around your ankle. You can put them back on after. Oh, don't worry about it. We have woman problems here right now. She doesn't want to take off her boots, so we're going to handcuff her hands. Hey, what are you doing? Accessories are very important, I guess, even at this age. Okay. And then Roy asked a very good question as well. Do we have the key for the cuffs? While we're putting them in stocks, funny story. When I first started with the police a little over 2.5 years ago, I was really excited to show Chris that all the stuff that the uniform they gave me and all the vest and everything like that and the handcuffs. And I say, hey, do you want me to show you how the handcuffs work? And so just before I cuff her, she asked me, do you have the key? I said, they never gave me a key. So she wouldn't let me do it until I had a key. So then, anyways, funny story. Okay, we're in stocks. Okay. So understanding the stocks, and the stocks would be on the feet normally. And then because they were wood, they were very uncomfortable, and they would restrict your movement. So you couldn't move anywhere. It was very uncomfortable. You're laying on this hard floor, and if your leg or your hip went to sleep, too bad. You can't move. You can't reposition yourself. It's very uncomfortable, and figure that you're there for a very, very long time. You weren't getting out of that. It wasn't there for a couple minutes, even a couple hours. You could be there for days in these stocks, holding you in this uncomfortable position. And so what happens? They take them, and they have arrested them. They beat them, and they're in stocks, and then they take them to the inner cell.
The inner cell?
The inner cell. The inner cell is a place where it was maximum security. It was a place where it was not just on the outside of the prison, but there would be really in the middle of the prison, the safest place with the most guards, with the most secure place. Okay. And so what I need to do is I need my guards to take you to the inner cell. And the inner cell is in the lobby because in the lobby is the man with the key. So if you could take our prisoners to the inner cell. And let's thank our prisoners. And if the parents want to keep them like that for a while, they can pay me. No. Let's thank our volunteers. So Paul and Silas, let's call him Si for short. They were beaten really bad. They were thrown into jail. I don't know if you realize, but that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. It was illegal to beat a Roman citizen. In fact, that crime could be punishable by death. So if you beat a Roman citizen, you could be punished by death. Not only that, they were never put on trial. It was also against the law to put a Roman citizen in prison when they haven't had a trial. So think about this story. Paul and Silas, Roman citizens. Obviously, they knew they were Roman citizens. All these guys had to do when it came time to be beaten or to thrown in jail is say, hey, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do that to me. Why didn't they? Why didn't they just pull the citizenship card and say, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you can't touch me? Why didn't they do that? Interesting. Paul says this later one time. In the book of Philippians, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering. Becoming like him in his death. Paul and Si were being accused and abused because of their faith in Jesus. And if that meant that they had to suffer, they were okay with that. I don't know, think about ourselves. If we're being rejected, if we're being made fun of, if we're facing hard times or difficulty and going on in our life because of our faith in Jesus, are we okay with that? Or if we had our citizenship card, would we say, you can't do that to me? See, Paul and Si, they were okay with saying, hey, you know something, if Jesus went through it, I'm okay with going through it myself. So, here's what Paul and Si were doing. You know, if this was happening to you, if you were put in a maximum security prison, if you had been facing all this, and they are still hurting from the beating that they had taken, they're in stocks, they're not comfortable, I don't know, what will we be doing? Will we be saying, hey, this is not fair? Jesus, why are you letting this happen to me? All we're doing is talk to people about you. I mean, we don't deserve this. Paul and Silas, this is what they were doing. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. So they were praying and singing so loud that everybody around them could hear them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. The foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I don't know for sure, but I can only imagine with what they were feeling and how uncomfortable they were, and they were in this cold, stinky, musty, smelly prison and not very conducive atmosphere to praising Jesus. They probably weren't feeling like praising Jesus. I don't know. Don't we need comfortable chairs? Don't we need the right room temperature, the right big screens and a full bland to be able to praise Jesus? See, not really, do we? I mean, these things are nice, comfortable chairs and nice warm rooms, especially when it's cold outside, and screens to see the words and a full bland really helps us when we're praising Jesus, but we don't need those things. Praising Jesus isn't about the right song. It's not about room temperature. It's not about specific circumstances. Praising Jesus is a choice. It's a choice. No matter what we're facing, no matter what the weather's like, no matter what we're feeling like, no matter what the circumstances are going on in our life and around us, it's a choice. Whether we find ourselves on a sunny beach in Florida or in the frozen tundra of Orangeville, we praise Jesus. We make the choice to praise Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Praise Jesus when things aren't going well. Praise Jesus when the future is uncertain. Praise Jesus when we don't feel like it. And those moments, at those times, offer to him the sacrifice of praise. See, for Paul and Silas, when they praised, they made the jailhouse rock. And the whole place was shaken. And some people say, well, it was just an earthquake and those things happened. Well, I don't know. Every cell door opens and every chain falls off. I don't know. Don't sound too natural to me. Sounds more supernatural. Because they weren't caught up with the moment, where they were, what was happening in their life. See, praise Jesus, or praising Jesus, can shake the prison of our circumstance. Praising Jesus can free us from the bondage of our emotions. Praising Jesus can release the shackles of our sickness. Praising Jesus can break the power of the enemy. Psalms 33, verse 1. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting and upright to praise him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the God of heaven and earth. And the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And there's so many things that we look around that we can praise you for. And it's not just praising you for the things you've done. It's praising you for who you are. Even if you haven't done anything. Paul and Silas were still in jail. And they were praising you not because of where they were, but because of for who you are. And so, Lord Jesus, we praise you. We lift you up. Even at this moment in time, we thank you. We praise you. Just keeping your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you're here and you've heard me talk about praising Jesus, you've heard me talk about lifting up his name, and you say, well, I don't understand that. I don't relate to that. I don't even know really who Jesus is. And you're here this morning, you want to have a relationship with him, to know him personally. I'd encourage you just to say this prayer with me, just between you and God. Lord Jesus, I struggle in my life. Most of the time it's been about me. But I recognize now that's not enough and that I need you. So I ask you, please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Take charge. Take control. I want to live for you every day. Just keeping your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer with me, it's the biggest decision you've ever made and will ever make. I want to welcome you, not even just into the Broadway family, but to the family of God. And as you've made this big step, there's going to be a lot of things to do in the future and to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And we have a Bible and some information that will help you on that journey. And if you said that prayer with me, we'd like to give it to you right now. If you just quickly raise your hand, we'll make sure that you get it. Yes. If you said that prayer, just quickly raise your hand. We'd just like to make sure you get that. Yes, thank you. Now, if you just haven't raised your hand, but you said that prayer, you can feel free to pick up that Bible at the guest services table as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to worship and to praise you. We thank you even for this moment in time where we're here right now, and we give you all the glory. Thank you for those that said this prayer. Draw them every day closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen.